Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. TriStar Movers with five-star service. We are live from the Hillside Medical Games Studio, streaming on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, presented by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Caroline Fenton, joined by The Suit today. Chase McCabe in the house. Elijah Campbell's with us as well. Well, we knew that the silence wouldn't last very long. From our good old friend, AJ Brown.
I thought you were talking about Jared.
Oh, that too. That too. That never lasts too long. But yeah. we got 4 hours of pure bliss today, so I'm looking forward to
this song, by the way. I can just see him, like us doing a video of him, like the music hits and he walks out of his room with sunglasses and a suit. Just
and there's
like,
doves and fireworks coming up behind him. Yeah,
Uh-huh. Can still see that.
He emerges into his show face. But no, our other friend who is quite vocal on Twitter and has been for quite some time. He's up to his ways. He may be in Philly, but he's on his same old stuff. AJ Brown took to Twitter today to speak to some Titans fans. So AJ Brown, backstory. AJ Brown had a football camp open to kids. It was in Nashville. Of course, AJ Brown gets traded. He's no longer going to be hosting the football camp, and there was talks about other players hosting the football camp. I haven't been up to date with it. I didn't sign up for it. I don't know if anyone's too surprised about that. But clearly...
That would have been awesome.
I'll lace my cleats up, get out there. I don't know.
Bunch of
I've still got 4 years of eligibility left. Yeah, you never, who may probably be taller than me. But the football camp, I'm assuming... They didn't find anyone to fill the spot. It's probably up in the air. And Chase, your theatrical reading of our good old friend AJ Brown's tweet.
Yes. I'm either going to offend people or make them laugh. We'll see.
That's all right. That's what most jokes are.
The tweet, this is how it reads. I'm so sorry I let down your kids and many others, but I will not put myself in a place where my peace is going to be threatened by adults who feel away because I was traded. I'm every bad word it is for taking care of my family. If you're not aware, just look on social media. I'm a man first, and I will always do what I feel is right for me and my family. People are upset, and that's fine. But it's not that serious when it comes to me. People can disrespect me on social media, and that's fine. But being disrespectful to my face is a whole another thing that I'm not tolerating on any level. So forgive me for not putting myself in a place where my peace could be threatened because if something happens and I react, I'm the one who has everything to lose and not willing to risk my peace, my family, or my job. I would love to make everyone's children's day, but not if I'm putting my own at risk. Please don't say nothing is going to happen because nobody knows that. I'm sure someone will still have a problem with this. And that's fine as well. If you can't understand that, then it's because you don't want to. Take care. Love.
Just
AJ
love.
Brown.
Just love.
While the boat sinks in the background.
Oh my goodness. Another doozy from our friend AJ Brown. It's victim card after victim card after victim card. I mean, I do think that AJ is blowing this way out of proportion. Look, he had a football camp. Parents signed their kids up for it. It's not happening anymore. He got traded. It's not going to happen. And I don't know. I'm not on AJ's Twitter. I don't know what people have been saying. But first of all, AJ, turn Twitter off. If it bugs you that much and he talks about, you know, it's threatening my peace, then turn it off. You're not going to stop the talk from people around you, but you can turn your Twitter off or delete your Twitter. And then, so that, first of all, the fact that he's taking offense to these parents, or probably not even parents, probably just Titans fans who are still mad about something coming for him, and he doesn't like it. He even said in his soliloquy, I have everything to lose. Yes, AJ, you do have everything to lose. So why are you continuing to put it on the line? And why do you continue to put yourself in this position for people to come for you when all you have to do is just turn Twitter off.
A few years ago, I had the opportunity to go to dinner with somebody that was a regular on this radio station.
Uh-huh.
That is Coach Herm Edwards.
Yes.
And it was at that dinner that we discussed his famous don't press send. that he gave, the speech he gave to NFL rookies at the time. And listen, from AJ's point of view, this is my whole thought process on it. You're right. You're not a Titan anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to make the decision to not do the camp, you have every right to do that.
Uh-huh.
So own the decision and say, hey, I'm backing out. I'm not going to do the camp anymore. I'm sorry for the inconvenience, but I'm moving my family to Philadelphia and wish you nothing but the best.
Period.
And then be done with it.
And if I'm a parent of a child that signed up for that football camp, I'll say, yeah, totally get it.
And people are going to be ticked off and they're going to say stuff to you, but don't worry about it.
That's
because
fine.
You need to own the decision. Anthony Firkser, who is no longer a Titans tight end. So I typed in AJ Brown football camp, and one of the things that comes up is ex-Titans tight end Anthony Firkser will still host football camp in Nashville. So that doesn't help him. But my whole
point. Anthony Firkser situation and AJ Brown situations are a little bit different. But still, I mean, if that's the decision that Firkser wants to make, sure, do your camp. Enjoy it. Have fun. If AJ Brown doesn't, then don't.
But the problem is, and the reason that so many people are losing respect for AJ Brown, including myself, is because he can't get out of his own way and he has to keep playing victim. And it's just stop, man. Like, if you don't want to do the camp, don't do the camp. And if you wanted to go see if Derrick Henry would do it or try and find that, then do that on your own time. Don't make it public. Because you know what you did? You put Derrick in a bad spot.
Yeah.
Because I guess he's not going to do it. And
he doesn't have to do it.
He doesn't have to.
It's not his obligation.
But you've thrown him under the bus. And so just log off and just stop talking. Because you're going to a market where you're going to get eaten alive. And my guess is he's got his money now. And the things I'm learning more and more, he got his money. So I don't think it, you know, I just don't even know how much football even matters at this point. Like, it just, he's really, really disappointed me with how he's handled this whole thing. And he's, I mean, this is wrestling. Like, he's the baby face and it just makes a heel turn because of how he's acted here. And if you act that way in Philadelphia, I mean, they're going to tear you apart. Like, it's just, it's a totally different fan base in media than it is here.
And, I mean, the fans, they're going to tear him apart.
Right.
I mean, and if he drops balls like he did in Tennessee, and I'm not going to discredit AJ. I mean, he is a ball player now. He did great things for this team.
Sure.
AJ's not perfect. AJ gets hurt. AJ drops balls. In Philadelphia, they're a whole lot less understanding than they are in Nashville, Tennessee. And I think another thing that you bring up is, I mean, he got his money.
Yeah.
That's what he wanted all along.
I honestly.
AJ's been crying and boohooing and playing victim and just playing this silly little card on Twitter and on social media. But at the end of the day, he got what he wanted.
Yep.
So he can pout all day long, but he still got what he wanted.
He's
and
right.
I don't like that. He's getting rewarded for it. But I mean, but I look at it like the Titans have to read this and everything that's transpired since the trade
but, you know.
Not our problem anymore.
Right. Like
our problem.
They don't care and they shouldn't care. I mean, they did what they needed to do and I don't fault them for it. You know, I know that Rex Road thinks it's an awful thing and I get it from a talent standpoint it is, but no, I mean they did what they had to do. And moved on. And, you know, if he's talking about his peace being disrupted, like Philadelphia for this kind of stuff is going to disrupt his peace. He lasts maybe 2 years there.
If that. It's not a very peaceful sports town. I mean, we've seen what
the
contract, reaction to Ben
the way the contract is set up, you know, I mean, they could get out of it. So,
yeah, I mean, this – I just look at this and I have to thank the Titans. For doing what they did because, you know, the terms of the contract didn't really become public until the move had already been made. Of course, TD's reporting about what AJ wanted, and then the price went up whenever the market went up, and it just kept going up and up and up and up. And what it feels like is AJ's all about himself. And I get it. Like, you need to look out for yourself. You're going to be your best advocate. If you don't advocate for yourself, then nobody else will. But with AJ, it just seems like it's only about me. I get what I want. You don't get what you want. And you have to bend the knee because of it, because of what I have done or what I can bring. And this is just another thing that just sets me off about AJ Brown.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. It's sad to see this turn of events.
Coming up next, Corey Curtis News 2 will join us. What does he think about A.J. Brown taking to Twitter yet again? And there is another Titan whose contract may be in question. What do we think about that? We'll talk to Corey Curtis coming up next. Stillman and Company, we're live on ESPN 1025 The Game. Stillman and Company, Corey Curtis joins the show now. Now, Corey, first question for you. We're talking about A.J. Brown taking to Twitter yet again.
Oh, gosh.
Playing victim yet again. It is actually still
up. He left
it up. It is still up, basically, in a nutshell, talking about how he's canceling his camp and how people are ruining his peace, and he's doing what's best for him and his family because people can't respect that he got traded, so on and so forth. Corey, I said that, I mean, this is just another reason, at least in my mind, that I'm glad that the Titans are just free of the drama, free of the victim card, and most, first and foremost, free of the price tag that A.J. Brown was asking for. Your thoughts on A.J. Brown just taking to Twitter yet again and airing his grievances with the Titans fan base.
Now, did he cancel the Starkville camp or the one at NBA?
It's the one here that he's talking about that he doesn't want to.
Yeah.
He's afraid of what he will do if somebody confronts him or something.
Well, you know, you could be a grown man. I mean, that's what you could do. And you could understand that we're in an era where people follow players sometimes more closely than they follow teams. I mean, how many people go with LeBron from team to team? How many people, you know, one of our best friends went with Favre in the divorce in Green Bay, and he's no longer a Packers fan because he went with Favre. I mean, listen, trading is a reality in the NFL. There's a camp with Anthony Firkser down at D1 here in a couple weeks. Last I saw, he's an Atlanta Falcon, and he didn't cancel his camp, okay?
That is true.
It's a camp for kids, all right? You put the kids before you. You know, it's a great way to come back to Nashville one last time and say, yeah, I'm really going to miss it here. I know it didn't go down necessarily the best way possible for everybody, but, you know, I had a great 3 years here. I'm looking forward to my time in Philadelphia, and, you know, what a great way for me to say goodbye, you know, with these kids here. You can turn negative into a positive. And by the way, when you force the trade, you know, you set yourself up for this. And he pulled out of that camp really fast, really fast. Like, he knew that's what he was going to do. I know you got traded. And if he'd gotten somebody else to take his place, I guess that's okay. It's for kids.
Right.
You know, be bigger than that. I don't know.
Corey Curtis joins us, presented by Smokeville Smoke Shop. Now, Corey, another Titan whose contract could potentially be up in the air. So we saw a report by CBS Sports a couple of days ago. The Titans interested, thinking about extending Derrick Henry's contract. Now, that to me doesn't seem like it makes a whole lot of sense. In my mind, it makes me think Derrick Henry is unhappy with his contract. Do you think that Derrick Henry is unhappy with his contract? And if so, what's the Titans' next move?
You know, I don't know if he's happy or unhappy at all. Because, I mean, look, you know, we all know he didn't get premium dollars. I mean, he got paid. There's no crime. He got $50 million bucks. But, you know, he didn't get premium dollars. I think he might be concerned about his future, and rightfully so. He's coming off a significant foot injury, and, you know, after this year, the Titans can save $12 million by cutting him. And I mean, look, how did Taylor Lewan sound all season long for the Titans? Like, he was begging to stay, you know, talking about how important this team was to him and understanding where he was in the structure of his contract that, you know, it was going to be him or Saffold. I mean, he could see the writing on the wall, and I don't think Derek's a fool. I think Derek understands, you know, what his contract says, and I know people are like, you'd be crazy to cut Derrick Henry. Well, you know, what if Derek doesn't have the year that everybody thinks he's going to have? Then he'll be gone, and he won't get the $12.5 million in base salary that he's due next season, and if he has a down year, then he likely won't get it on the open market either. So he's probably just trying to set himself up to where, you know, this isn't a prove it year for him. If that's the case, if he wants a new deal, you know, that, you know, he doesn't want to go into this year feeling like this is make or break. I got to do this or I'm gone. I've done too much for this team to be in that spot. But that's the NFL today. That's kind of the way it is. As for the Titans, if you think he's in your future beyond 2 years, you can lower your cap number, number one. You can create some space. If you want to sign a Will Fuller or a player like that, you can get yourself some space by adding a year or 2 years and spreading it out and still creating a scenario where you can cut him, you know, in 2 years, just not in 1 year. Like John Hines, you know, he's got 2 years instead of 1 year. It's not going to break the bank. And so I think it can make sense for both sides. We haven't heard from Derek. I think it was just Jeremy Fowler from ESPN who reported this, that the Titans would be open to discussing it. So, you know, maybe they'd be open to discussing it because they'd like the cap space. I don't know.
It just seems like to me, if the Titans would be, it doesn't seem like a move that would make sense for the Titans to be open yeah. to doing. It would make me think that this is the perfect scenario for the Titans with Derrick Henry. You got 2 years left, and then he's a UFA. You can figure out what he is post-injury in 2022 and then kind of make your decision on from there.
He'll be 31 years old. So, I mean, like his market is not going to – I mean, regardless of how good he is at 31 years old, he's not going to get a pay increase. No matter where he goes, if he stays or he goes, he's going to get a decrease at that point. So just based on his age and the number of carries. So, you know, I think for the Titans, if you're going to extend him, you have to know that his value goes down. And telling a player that their value goes down doesn't usually go very well. So that would be interesting to see how that, in fact, would go at that point, because you're talking about, like I said, being 31 years old. And so, you know, for me, the only way for the Titans it makes sense is if you want to create space. That's it.
Corey Curtis is with us from News 2. Why do you think, though, that if – because the team's not going to bring this up. This is always the player that, you know, mm-hmm. if they're under contract, the player is the one that's going to want more money or want the contract extension. Why now? I mean, I don't view the drafting of Hassan Haskins as a threat by any means to Derrick Henry. I like the draft pick, but it's kind of curious to me of why this is coming up right now today.
Well, it's what I just talked about a second ago, where he knows that he's on the chopping block after the season, and he doesn't want to be. I mean, these guys have learned, you know, yes, the big number when they sign is the happy number. You know, AJ gets 4 years and $100 million. Have you seen the last year of that contract? It's like 30 something million yeah. in base salary. He's never going to see that. Mm-hmm. He's never going to see that. It'll be reconstructed or something, but they're not going to pay him 30 something million in base salary. I mean, that'll take up over 10% of their cap just on that alone. And so, you know, he understands where he's at in his contract. So if you're saying why is he bringing it up? Because he wants to be a Titan and he wants to get paid more than one more year. And he understands how the cap works, and he's been in the business for a while. He just saw Roger Saffold get shown the door. He's seen other guys he's shown the door because of the cap. And he understands that $3 million debt number next year is one that saves the Titans $12.5 million.
Do you think he's holding out?
No, he has worked off on his own virtually his whole career, so I don't believe he's holding out, but I don't know. I mean, you know, he could be, but, you know, Derek's always been a guy who doesn't say a lot, certainly doesn't tweet a lot, so it's tough to read. I mean, you weren't here yet, Caroline Chase, I believe you were, when it was like year two and he didn't show up for OTAs. And people weren't real happy with him, and they thought he was trying to send the message that he wasn't happy about being number two to DeMarco Murray. When he was saying all he was trying to do was get his degree, which was something he promised his grandmother. So, you know, we read into stuff, and rightfully so, when we don't have answers to it, we have to read into it. But the only reason we might think he's holding out is based on this report, which doesn't really quote anybody except to say the Titans might be interested in opening and being open to it. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, one of the interesting things about last year is look, Derrick Henry is a great football player. There's no doubt about it. I'm not trying to diminish this. But we saw last year the Titans' offense was much more A.J.-dependent than it was Derrick-dependent, okay? You know, making plays in the passing game. They could replace much of what Derrick did, giving the ball to other people, you know, with Dante Foreman and with Dalton Hilliard. You know, they weren't Derrick Henry, but they were pretty productive, certainly more productive than the guys backing up A.J. Brown. And so, you know, that might be part of what he saw as well and part of what his concern is.
Corey Curtis is with us. Corey Curtis presented by Smokeville Smoke Shop. Corey, we heard a lot from Mike Vrabel surrounding rookie minicamp, talking about wanting to get entitlement away from the team, talking about being excited about coaching the guys who really want to be there. That, to me, sounds like Mike Vrabel is sending a message to someone or a group of people. Do you think it's a certain someone? Do you think it's a group of people? And what do you think that he's mad about?
Well, no, I mean, he's absolutely right, because they have nothing to feel entitled about. They haven't won a darn thing. I mean, have they won the division title? Yep, and that's great. But nobody at the end of their career gets up at the podium at Canton and talks about the division titles they won. They talk about Super Bowl titles. They talk about championships. And the last I saw was this team, the end of the last two seasons, has been horribly disappointed. So they have nothing to be entitled about, yet you don't see guys here at OTAs. And I say this from, because when you look at Vrabel and you watched, what was the Tom Brady show that they just had?
Man in the Arena?
Yeah, Man in the Arena. And the whole thing about doing the extra. I mean, this is a guy who lived in the doing the extra culture, and if you're not here, you're not even doing the minimum, okay? And so I can see where that would be troubling to him to say, why aren't you here? It, to me, what I don't understand is you just suffered this horribly, horribly, horribly gut-wrenching loss, right? I mean, Ryan Tannehill talked about it, talked about how difficult it was to get over, talked that he needed, you know, talk to a therapist to help get him over it. To me, if it hurt that bad, you're here the day before the doors are open waiting in line to get to work because you can't wait. That's the way I feel about it. And I know these guys are all doing work on their own, and they all know how to work. I'm not a total moron, just a complete one. But there's nothing beats working with your team. Getting with your teammates, building camaraderie, building chemistry, seeing the work, because, you know, what do they talk about with the foxhole mentality? It's trusting the guy next to you. How do you trust the guy next to you? You know he put in the work, right? And so if you don't see those guys putting in the work, they could be working. They could be working hard, probably are, but you're not there seeing it, and you're out there sweating with the rest of the guys. And so, you know, it's voluntary. I get that. It's collectively bargained. They have that right. But careers are short and championships are rare. And I get where Mike Vrabel's coming from.
It's a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Corey, what's your hot take?
Winning in the playoffs is hard in the National Hockey League. And I know everybody wants to bury everybody. But, you know, the Preds aren't the only ones to struggle to get out of the first round. I believe, have the Pittsburgh Penguins lost 4 years in a row with Sid and that crew?
I believe so.
Seems right.
Has Alex Ovechkin lost 4 years in a row after hoisting the cup in the first round?
Yep.
It's hard. It's hard. That's my only point. It's hard. There should be no entitlement. Everybody has every right to ask for more and expect more and demand that the team pursue more. I totally get that. But they also need to understand it's hard. It's just hard.
Corey, thanks for joining us. We appreciate you. We'll see you next week.
It was great talking to you guys. What did Jarrett do to get put in radio jail?
He just decided to take a day off, and I said I could use some peace and quiet, so go ahead.
He's playing hooky today, and I said, by all means, play all the hooky you want.
Code for suspended for upsetting someone. Got it.
No. See you, Corey.
Thanks for having
me, guys. I appreciate you, Corey. We'll see you next week. Corey Curtis, News 2, joining us, presented by Smokeville Smoke Shop. Now, we've talked about Derrick Henry, and I think what Derrick Henry will be in this 2022 season. I don't know. You don't know. And I don't think anyone knows. And there are some difference of opinions, at least from the national talking heads, about what Derrick Henry can be in the 2022 season. I want to break down just the two sides of the dichotomy of Derrick Henry. We'll get into that coming up next. Stillman and Company, Caroline Fendon, Chase McCabe, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman and Company, Caroline Fenton, Chase McCabe. Now, we were speaking with Corey Curtis of News 2, and it was reported by CBS Sports that the Titans could potentially be open to extending Derrick Henry's contract. Now, that's something that, in my opinion, I don't think makes any sense for the Titans. I think that Derrick Henry's contract, as currently constructed, puts the Titans in the best position. He's coming off of an injury. He's not necessarily guaranteed any money in 2022 and 2023, but he is at least locked into the Tennessee Titans for the 2022 season. So the Titans have the privilege of being able to see exactly what Derrick Henry's production can be coming off of injury, being 28, 29, 30 years old. I don't know how old he is. But being at that age and knowing the shelf life of a running back, of course, Derrick Henry has done some things that have just been unhuman.
Oh, yeah.
But of course, I mean, at some point, Derrick Henry is going to decline. You just don't know when that's going to be. So I think that his contract as currently constructed puts the Titans in the best possible situation. But then again, we don't know exactly what Derrick Henry's production is going to be, and neither does anyone in the national media. Because I found two very differing articles today. First and foremost, look at Adam Schein of NFL.com. He lists out some of his dark horse candidates for NFL MVP in 2022.
Ooh.
And Derrick Henry is one of those players. He says that, however, I do believe Henry is clearly the best running back in the NFL. If the Titans prove me wrong, it will be because of Henry's special blend of power and speed. And if the workhorse back threatens Eric Dickerson's single season record of 2,105 rushing yards, well, that kind of historic campaign can be enough to break the mold of a quarterback position's hold on the award. And I would agree. If he is able to break that 2,000-yard threshold, then yes, I think that absolutely does put him in the candidacy for MVP. I think that also does raise a bunch of questions of, did Derrick Henry earn his way into the Hall of Fame? You know, 2,000-plus rushing seasons, it's something to look at. So that's Adam Schein's very positive glass-half-full outlook of Derrick Henry's comeback from injury in 2022. And then I looked at Bleacher Report. NFL writer Maurice Moton writes that the Tennessee Titans will disappoint anyone with high expectations for them in 2022, and Derrick Henry is part of that as well. Mentions that he doesn't think that the Tennessee Titans will be a playoff team, and even cites that Derrick Henry could potentially be going down the same line as one Christian McCaffrey. That Christian McCaffrey got injured in 2020 because of the way that the Panthers used him. He had such a heavy workload, and he got injured. And whenever he came back, he just wasn't the same. And it was injury after injury after injury. Now, I don't necessarily think that's what's going to happen with Derrick Henry.
I don't either.
I don't think that his injury was as a result of overuse. It was a weird turf injury thing that his toe got caught on Indianapolis's terrible turf. His foot got injured. It's not necessarily a subset of the workload. But I do think it's very interesting because on one end, we have an NFL insider saying that Derrick Henry could be a dark horse for an MVP. On the other end, we have an NFL writer saying that the Tennessee Titans and Derrick Henry both are poised for a disappointing 2022 season. And I think I have to ask myself, where does the truth really lie? I mean, if Derrick Henry does have a 2,000-plus yard rushing season, and I think that would set up the Tennessee Titans great for a position in the playoffs. And I do think that if Derrick Henry comes back and has a 2022 season like his 2020 season, then I think that makes them the favorite in the AFC South. I understand that there's a certain Jonathan Taylor in Indianapolis. I understand that Indianapolis has a new quarterback. But I think that with the way the Tennessee Titans use Derrick Henry, that would put them in position for the AFC South. And then I look at another writer who thinks that the Tennessee Titans are going to be disappointing in 2022.
Yeah.
I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle.
Right. I think the notion that he's going to rush for 2,000 yards again, like anybody that's actually believing that, I want whatever you have.
I'm not going to put my money on it.
No,
I think it's an incredibly long shot.
But if you get 12 to 1,300 or even 1,500 out of him, then that's a hell of a year. I mean, that's exactly what you'd hope for a bounce back for him.
Yeah.
You know, as for the contract, I think Corey makes a good point. if you're the Titans, he's got he's a $12 million cap hit today, mm-hmm. right now. If you decided, okay, we'll gamble, we'll basically extend this by a year for and move some money around, and so he'll take less of a cap hit this year, he can make a little more money and have that extra year, then I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing to do, because you could give yourself more wiggle room to add somebody, mm-hmm. Another receiver or what have you. Because at the end of the day, when you ask yourself what's your biggest concern for the Tennessee Titans, is it Derrick Henry, you know, being injury prone and just completely falling off the cliff because of how they've used them? Or is it the quarterback and putting the quarterback in a position to succeed? For me, it's the quarterback and putting him in a position to succeed. That, you know, obviously Derrick Henry is a big part of that, but you spent a lot of draft capital to get more weapons in here. You've signed a tight end that you're hopeful is going to be more productive than what you saw a few years ago, which is exactly what, than last year, I should say, which is exactly what Ryan Tannehill needs, because he's all about checking down to the tight end. Look at Jonnu Smith and the payday he got with New England. So that, to me, is where the concern should be, not as much as Derrick Henry just falling off a cliff.
But I do think that if you're going to set up the quarterback to succeed, I think Derrick Henry is a huge part of that equation.
Sure. But even if he's, like I said, 1,200 or 1,300 yards or...
I would have no problem with that.
Yeah.
I look at Derrick Henry in a 2,000-yard season. Yes, reach for the moon, absolutely. That doesn't seem like it's necessarily in the cards for me. Derrick Henry has done some incredible things. He may prove me wrong. But a 1,200-yard season wouldn't be a disappointing season in my eyes at all from Derrick Henry. I think maybe what I'm more looking toward in a disappointing season is the playoff game where he had 20 carries and 62 yards, I believe, off the top of my head. Is that what's going to be the norm for Derrick Henry?
Yeah.
Is he going to get stuffed up the middle? Is it going to be where he's struggling to reach that 100-plus yard mark and game to game to game? I think clear deterioration from Derrick Henry, where it's, you know, it's not just a 12, 13, 14, 1,500-yard season. It's Derrick Henry is obviously struggling out there. And Derrick Henry is obviously taking a step back from what he's done. I'm not saying it's going to happen,
right,
but I'm not counting it out as a possibility.
Sure.
That's more so what I look toward as taking a step back. Because if he has a 1,300-yard season, great. I mean, Derek, I'll take it. But I think that if you're going to set your quarterback up for success and your running back takes that big of a leap backwards, then you can't set up Tannehill for success, because this is not an offense that's poised for the passing game, and this is not a quarterback that you necessarily want to be put into a passing role.
That's a fair point. It's valid for sure. But you bring up the 100 yards. If he's averaging 100 yards a game, then you're groovy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's 1,700 yards
yeah.
on the season. Like, you'll take that all day long
uh-huh.
if that's what he's doing. And that's pretty much where he was at when he got hurt. I mean, he was
he was on pace for 2,000 yards.
He was on pace to shatter 2,000
yes.
yards and break the record. I mean, he was going to break all sorts of records. So, but now people have seen Superman be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And they've seen Superman run into his kryptonite, and then he came back and granted it was one game and he wasn't the same, so everybody's nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. It's a natural thing.
And it's something that we're not going to know the answer to until the first week of the season.
Right.
We're not
going to
look
right.
at training camp with Derrick Henry and say, oh, he's back.
Well, Vrabel isn't going to let us.
No.
So. Don't have to worry about that. Like, where's Derek? Oh, he's
doing his own thing. And
he's at Tuscaloosa. He's
yeah, he's on the bike. He's fine.
Yeah.
But I think that this offense, the backbone of it, and the nucleus of this offense is Derrick Henry. But if Derrick Henry isn't what you need him to be, then what is this offense? And I
right.
think that's a question that we all have to ask ourselves, and nobody really has the answer to.
And that's the fun part.
That is the fun part and also the scary part. But I want to get into this coming up next. And that's a big question that nobody will know the answer to. How much will Derrick Henry really be able to contribute? And the other question is, will the Tennessee Titans ultimately be faced with a really difficult crossroads when it comes to Derrick Henry's contract. Want to get into that coming up next. Caroline Fenton, Chase McCabe, this is Still Been a Company for Life on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Teron Davenport this morning on Robbie and Rexro talking about Derrick Henry's contract. And I see both sides. I see the Titan side, and I see Derrick Henry's side. And of course, this is coming from a CBS report saying that the Titans would be open to a contract extension with Derrick Henry, which made me raise my eyebrow a little bit because I thought that doesn't really make any sense for the Titans to be open to
sure.
that. Of course, Derrick Henry would want a contract extension, and that's the tough thing, as I see both sides. I see the Titans not wanting to nudge on that contract because it really puts them in the best situation to evaluate Derrick Henry coming off of an injury and also aging. And I also see Derrick Henry's side of things of saying, I want a little bit more security. I want to know that post-2022, 2023, that I have a place on this team and that I'm financially taken care of. I see both sides. But to TD's point, Joe asked him, do you think that this is going to be a thing? Like, do you think that this is going to be a contract negotiation that the Titans are going to have to deal with in the offseason? TD says, well, you know, Derrick Henry's done everything the right way. He came in. He earned his spot as a starter. You know, he's taken a few contracts that really don't give him the best payout at the end of the day. It was very much so
he took
a
pro some
Titans contract.
Non-Derrick Henry type running back contract.
Yes,
that's what he
did.
Took.
He took some contracts that just weren't necessarily opportune for him. So TD says he's done all of these things in the past the quote-unquote right way. So I can't imagine that now he'd throw a big stink. But I have to say, like, Derrick might look at this and say, I've done everything the right way. I earned my spot. I am a starter. I am the backbone of this offense. I've been able to carry this team to the postseason several times. I'm done doing things the quote-unquote the right way. I've earned a little bit of insurance. I've earned a couple more years. I've earned more money. And I wouldn't blame him if that's what he wants. If now that he's, you know, he's been quiet, now is his opportunity to get things the Derrick Henry way rather than the Titan way.
I wouldn't blame him either necessarily, but I just, the way he is wired, I don't see him doing that. And here's the other part of it too. You're right. It wouldn't, from the Titans' point of view, you keep the contract the way it is. Mm-hmm. But if you're John Robinson, you look at this one, okay, like I was saying, how can I maybe get myself some cap room if I do this? That's not a bad idea. And secondly, look at how Derrick Henry's conducted himself and worked for your club. So you're willing to have a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, I would think that you're willing to talk to, I think I heard Jared say this, I think Jimmy Sexton is Derrick Henry's agent.
He is,
So like, I'd be willing to talk to Derrick and to Jimmy Sexton on this. Doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to do it, but I'm willing to have the phone call.
And that's where the report came out. They're open to it.
Right, and see where
they're
at.
As they should be. That's what they owe Derrick Henry.
And that's the difference. To tie this back into our earlier topic, that's the difference between Derrick Henry and somebody like A.J. Brown. Because Derrick Henry has not been on Twitter and been deleting stuff and been, quite frankly, a diva. And therefore, when you do things the right way, even though it may not benefit the team, so to speak, to go ahead and do this, you're willing to look at it and you're willing to talk about it because of who the person is and how the person has done their job. So I don't think he's going to hold out. I don't think this is going to be a thing because I believe that where both sides sit, this is a conversation they can have in John's office where we're not around, and they can figure something out because of how they've all acted.
And that is the complete difference between AJ and Derrick, is Derrick won't make this public. Derrick won't take it to Twitter. Derrick won't come in with an asking price and then up it and up it and up it to an almost impossible number. I don't see Derrick conducting his negotiations with such immaturity like I think AJ did as well. But I also look at AJ, and what was so important to him throughout his trade negotiations was the value per year, how much money he's making per year, which really at the end of the day, that's not what matters. The money that's guaranteed to you is what matters. I think Derrick Henry has been in this league long enough and has done enough contract negotiations that he understands what matters.
Yeah.
So I do think that that's going to be a big part of his contract negotiations, is making sure that the money that he's owed, that part of that is guaranteed and that it's a very pro Derrick Henry contract. That might not be in the best interest of the Tennessee Titans. So I guess my next question is, if the Titans are at a crossroads with Derrick Henry, of course, both sides can go about it in the best way possible. But Derrick Henry might get to a point where he says, I want security. I feel like I'm owed security. And if you're not willing to give that to me, then I want to trade.
I don't think it gets to that point.
You don't think?
No, I don't. I mean, if this was another type player, then yeah. But I don't see that because, again, I go back to how the relationship has been established. And, like, I heard Jared bring this up that, you know, is Vrabel secretly upset that Derek's not here working out, that he's doing his own thing? And, sure, I would imagine he'd love to have Derek here, but he also knows that Derek's going to show up and be ready to work. I mean, it's – D-Mace has told the stories countless times that, you know, when he was – his later years with the Titans, when he was with the Ravens – you know, he'd let them know, like, hey, I'm going to do my own thing for a little bit, and then I'll be there. And it's like, cool. And he shows up, and he's ready to go, mm-hmm. and he's ready to work. So I think, it, you know, that's just where the relationship is between these two parties. And he's not going to be that guy. He's going to play. If they say, Derek, we need you to play out your contract, he's going to go, all right, I'll play out my contract. That's what I think. I could be wrong, but that's what I think with him.
But if he did want something else, or if he did have demands, I wouldn't blame him. I mean, we use the word diva, and like I think that AJ acted like a diva throughout his negotiations. Derrick Henry asking for more money, more years, an extension, whatever that may be, I think is just Derrick Henry looking out for himself, and I don't necessarily blame him. And you do talk about, you know, him going off and doing his own thing, and he's been doing that the past few years. He did that in 2020, and he came back, had a 2,000-yard rushing season. Like, whatever he was doing was obviously working. But I hear Vrabel talking about entitlement on the team and coaching guys here that want to be here. I do have to wonder, I don't think that Derek would necessarily fit in that mold of a guy who didn't want to be there. But if Derek gets special treatment, then why can't Jeffrey Simmons? Then why can't Ryan Tannehill? Right. And then that sends a really bad message to the rest of the team that, oh, Derek gets to go do his own thing because he's Derek Henry, which, of course, he's Derek freaking Henry. But also, nobody's more important than the Tennessee Titans.
No. No one's above the team.
No one is above the team.
That's true.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll revisit this with Chad Withrow, who joins us at 5 p.m. But I want to switch back into a little bit of a Preds gear. Joe Rexroad had a column in The Athletic talking about Hoyle and Hines' press conference yesterday, the trajectory of the Nashville Predators, and there's a word that he used to describe the Nashville Predators. Do we agree? We'll get into that coming up next. Stillman & Company, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And before we get to that, I want to let you know that ESPN 102.5 The Game is Nashville's official home of NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 4 p.m. for the NASCAR All-Star Race at the Texas Motor Speedway. Also get set for the race with Chasing Checkers. It's you. Every Sunday at 8 a.m. on 102.5 The Game, NASCAR 102.5 The Game, presented by Nashville Super Speedway and Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway.